Did it grow through business? Is this trying to have me wake up?
Okay. So we are holding on course Zion Omud Aleph, about a third of the way down the Omud when we can Hamala. Okay. So we established so far in the Gemara that there is a lab on shechting the korban outside of this mikdash, and also on offering it outside of this mikdash, which, by the way, means if a person were to do both of those things, we'll talk more about this on other days, but if a person were to do both of those things, and he did it for shergig, he would be chayav two chataros. The maze that he's chayav koros, but he can only get koros, a person can only get koros once. Okay. Now, there's the pasuk in the pasuk over there that talks about these zinim, in Parashas Achrimos, it mentions shechita, and it mentions halah. Ashe yishchat shoreh kesev ba'ed, and ashe yala oila izah. It doesn't talk about the other avodas, so now we're going to have to go through them one by one and see how we know this din applies to the other avodas of the korban as well. So, v'hodetznan...
Did you derive the other avodas from this one?
No, that's what we have to figure out. How? The pasuk only mentions shechita and halah, so how would we know to derive the other one? So, v'hodetznan, what about this that we learn later in our parak? Hazurik mitzas domin bachotz. If somebody takes some of the blood of a korban and sprinkles it outside the azara, chayev, then chayev koris or chatas, as the case may be. And the reason why even only a little is for the same reason that we learned earlier in the sechta, that even with a chatas, if you do only one application of blood, then b'dievet you yotze. So therefore, by analogy, therefore, if a person does even one application of blood outside the azara, he'd be chayev. So, but out of Manolan, where do we know that a person is chayev, that there's an iser on sprinkling blood outside the azara, and that a person can be chayev malchus or chasaf or kares for it? The answer is not the limited time. We learn it from what we learn in the Braith as follows. Dom yechoshev l'rabbe chasaf, when the Pasuk says, in the Pesukim over there, regarding shchotechot, the Pasuk says that if a person shechs the korban outside the Beit Mikdash, dom yechoshev, it's considered like he spilled blood. So the simple meaning of it is, in other words, the Torah considers him as if he was a murderer, like as if he spilled blood for no reason. Yechoshev means it'll be counted for him. But the fact that it uses the expression, Dom Yechoshev L'Rabbi Hazard, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, from that we also learn that if a person sprinkles blood, then it's also because Dom Yechoshev Dom Shafach, Rashi explains. So the expression in the pasuk, the whole expression in the pasuk is Dom Yechoshev Laishahu Dom Shafach. It's considered the person is guilty of blood, that he has shed blood. So the expression teaches us that Dom Shafach means the rabbis of Azorah. It comes to include somebody who does Zrika outside the Azorah is also Chayav Koros.
Why it has to be Zrika?
Zrika, whatever, some kind of application of blood that he does outside the Azorah, whatever it is. Rabbi Akiva says I have a different way of learning it. Or he's Zevach with Abbas of Azorah. It's not from the word Dom Yechoshev, it's rather because a few psukim later, when it talks about the din of halah, when it talks about the din of that you're not allowed to offer a korban outside of the mikdash, and offering, I mentioned yesterday, by the way, can mean, you have different lefoshim talk about, does it mean putting it on a mizbeach? Does it mean lighting it on fire, or does it mean both? That halah would consist of those two actions, or maybe just one, or maybe just the other. Whatever, the pasuk mentions halah, that a person who does that is chayav koros, and it says over there, Ashayala oila oi zevach, that a person offers an oila or a zevach. So Rabbi Akiva says, the words oi zevach, the rabbi, the zerah, comes to include also a person who sprinkles blood. The word oi comes to include sprinkling as well. Okay. So the question is, okay, so then Rabbi Shmuel, hi, oi zevach, my oil, right? Okay, what is Rabbi Shmuel doing with that word oi zevach? He says, l'chalim. He says, you need the word oi in order to distinguish them. Because, like this, if the pasuk had not used the word oi, if it had said, ashayala oila v'zevach, you would, v'zevach, whatever, you would think it means, when is a person chayav koros, only if he offers both, an oila and a shlom. Zevach, unspecified, usually means shlom. In order to clarify that a person is chayav for being makruv even one korban, therefore the Torah had to stick in the word oi. Otherwise we would think that it's on person on the chayv. He is makruv both then, both an oila and a shlom. Then he's chayv koros, but not if he does only one. So what oi is needed for that? Okay. So for Rabbi Akiva l'chalik minole, new, where does Rabbi Akiva get that from? The answer is not the line. Lo yivi emes. He says, fine, but the pasuk says over there, the next pasuk says, after it mentions Asher Yala Oyla Ezevah, then the next pasuk continues that he did not bring it to the Pesach Oyel Moed. It means one carbon. So therefore, that means the person is chayav for only one. Now, Pesach Oyel Moed lo yivien, means only
in the plural.
You say lo yivien. Yivien. So yivienu means one carbon. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel, what would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? Yeah, that's a good point then. In that case, you know from it that it means only one carbon. The answer is, fine, but Rabbi Shmuel says, we need to learn something else from that. We learn from that a person is chayav, koreis, or malchus, only if he offers a complete thing, that ain't chayav ala chaser, he's not chayav if he is makru of something that is chaser. Later on, because we're going to talk about, the Gemara is going to analyze with a couple of different opinions, what exactly shalom and chaser mean. Does it mean a complete aver versus part of an aver? Does it mean part of a behemah versus the whole behemah? Or does it mean, for example, or does it mean more than a kezayit or less than a kezayit? So we're going to have a number of opinions about that later, but the point is this is what Rabbi Shmuel said, that from the word yivienu, we learn from that only that it has to be a complete thing, it can't be chosen. So therefore he said,
What's the connection on
yivienu? Yivienu should bring it, meaning it, the whole complete thing, as opposed to a part of it.
So that it completely contains two parts.
Rabbi Shmuel is saying, I can't learn from the word yivienu that it means only one carbon. Conceivably, it could mean a person is high of carbon only if he brings two carbonas, and they have to be complete. So therefore, we need the word oy to tell us that not. A person is high for one carbon. But that carbon has to be complete.
And what has it complete?
That's the three different possibilities that are here. Either it means a whole animal and not part of one. It means a whole aver and not part of one. Or it means a kezayis rather than less than kezayis. Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would say, Nachgalim lasis oisa. He would say, fine, but you also have, and the passage continues, that he didn't bring it to the oyel moed lasis oisa to do it, to perform it before Hashem in the Mishkan. So therefore that means oisa, it means the whole thing. Rabbi Shmuel, so we go back and forth over here, so what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? What does he do with the word oisa? He says, fine, but I need both phrases. I need the word yivienu, and I need the word oisa, both of which mean it, because I need to learn it for both cases. One teach us about a carbon that should have been burned inside. Meaning, in other words, you can have, the Gemara discussed previously on Kuvav, in the Sugi over there, the Gemara distinguished, we brought a Braisa, first of all, that distinguished between, you have two types of Kuvav, oh no, actually no, well, the distinction in the Braisa there was something else, but we discussed in the Sugi before, we discussed there's a difference between, you can have a Kurban that was shechted inside the Azara, and then the person takes it outside of the Azara and burns it there, versus you can have a Kurban that could be given that was shechted outside the Azara. In fact, Rabbi Yosef really says that for that second case, if he burnt it outside the Beit Mikdash, he wouldn't be chayav kares for it, because Rabbi Yosef really argues it's already possible anyway. Once it was shechted outside the Azara, it's already possible. The Chachamim disagrees with that. They say he'd be chayav separately for the halah anyway. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel was saying there is that distinction. There is a difference between chad l'mukhtere ponim, so one pin. One is for a carbon that was meant to be offered inside the Azara, in other words, it was shechted in the Azara, chosru, now some part of it is missing, the hell of a chos, and then he offered it outside the Azara, that we need a pasuk to stress to us with one of these two phrases, either you be enu or oisai, that he's not chayav kares for that, because it was chosr, v'chad, l'mukhtere chos, chosru behel of a chos, and the other one for the case where it was l'chil shechted outside the Azara, then part of it is missing, and now he's burning it outside. So the other one of these words, Yivi Enu and Oysa, teaches us that he's potter from Kores in that case also.
So Echaz, we need to find...
Mukhtere Knim, where it was meant to be burnt inside, in other words, where it was shechted inside the Azara, and then he took it out and burnt it. And the other one for where it was shechted to begin with outside, and where also, and then that's Chotter, and then he burns it outside. So in those cases, so Rabbi Shmuel says, I need two different words to teach us that he's potter in both those cases.
One second. If you say that it's not outside, it's higher,
First of all, if you're going to ask what we can learn about Kal v'Chomer, first of all, ain't ancient min hadin, anyway. You can't establish a lav based on a Kal v'Chomer. I mentioned that before. But Tosfos points out that earlier on the Omud, we said that at the bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Beis and the top of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, we had said that we have a limud either from a Gzeira Shava from the word Hava or from a Vav from the word Baalehem, that there's no difference between those cases. So why don't we apply that over here also? Why do we say that we need two different? Why does the Mishmal say you need two different words for the two different cases? Tosfos says the reason is because we see. When it comes to a korban that's shechted, and normally you have a case of a korban that's shechted in the Azorah and then burnt on the Mizbeach, we learned previously, back in the Perek about King Ololo Yehu, the Mizbeach and Kaddish, we learned about the concept that if a piece of a korban falls off the Mizbeach, you're obligated to put it back on. So therefore, we could argue that mukhtarei pnim are more severe than mukhtarei chutz, where you don't have that concept. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is going to say, therefore, you need both of them. You can't learn one from the other. But so therefore, just from pnim, you would say that you have the concept that you have to put it back on the mizbeach. You don't have that by chutz. Okay, so in any case, Rabbi Shmuel says, that is why I need the word, hello, that is why you need the word lo yivi en nu, and also the word oisoi, not like Rabbi Akiva is saying that one of them teaches us a person is chayev for even only one korban instead of two, and the other one teaches us that it has to be shalim. Rabbi Shmuel says both of them are needed to teach us that it has to be shalim, but for two different scenarios, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel is saying, I don't have the word yivi enu or the word oisoi available to teach us that it means only one korban and not two. Therefore, I need the word oy, asher yala oyla oyzevach, to teach us that it's one korban, not two. Therefore, he says, I don't have the word oy available to teach us that a person is chayav kares for doing zvika outside the azara. Therefore, he says, I need the word, therefore I need the word yom yechashet to teach us that. Rabbi Akiva would answer to that. He says, I disagree with you, Rabbi Shmuel, on that. Rabbi Akiva, as a matter of fact, is going to hold that no, if you have a korban that was shechted in the Azara, and then some of it is missing, and then he takes it and burns it outside the Azara, he will be chayav for it, just as if it was complete. So Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need two words to teach us this din for the two different cases, because the din only applies in one of those two cases. Therefore, I have the word yivi enu available to teach us only one korban, not two. Therefore, I don't need the word oi for that. Therefore, I can use the word oi to teach us about zrika.
So Rabbi Akiva learns this from...
Rabbi Shmuel is saying like this. The word that zrika tadam a person is chayav for, he learns from a different passage, dom yechoshev, dom shav. Then he says, the oi of asher yala oila oi zevach teaches us a person is chayav if it's either an oila or a shlomim or any other korban, not that it has to be the combination. Then he says, the fact that it says yivi enu and the fact that it says oisoi teaches us that there are two cases where some of the korban is missing or some of the aver is missing or whatever, and he offers it out and he burns it outside the azara, where he's potter from kodesh. One is where it was shechted in the azara and one where it was shechted outside the azara. That's all according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says, never mind dom yechoshev. We'll see now, we'll discuss next what Rabbi Akiva is going to do with that word, dom yechoshev. But he says like this, that you're chayev, that a person's chayev for doing zrika, that we learn from the word oy. That it's only one korban rather than two, he says, I'm learning from yivi en nu, which means one korban. And that it applies to only to a shalim, not a chaser, I'm learning from oysoi. What about this, that Rabbi Shmuel, you're saying you need two words because it applies to two cases? Rabbi Akiva says, I don't hold to that. I hold that the concept of chaser only applies to one case, only applies where it was shechted outside the Azara, not where it was shechted in the Azara.
So, meaning...
chaser meaning, again, that either part of the animal is missing or part of the aver is missing.
Inside the Azara,
if it was shechted in the Azara, then there's no such thing as chaser, exactly. That's what we're saying. Mukhtarei pnim shechasru, if you have something that was going to be burnt inside on the Mizbeach, because it was already shechted in the Azara, shechasru, that some of it is missing, behelu b'chot, and you offered it outside the Azara, then he's chayav. Then he's chayav, yeah.
Well,
obviously, if it's offered inside, that's what it's supposed to be. the point is that fine, but okay, maybe he shouldn't do it l'chilo, but there's no isakoris for that. Fine. Rabbi Shmuel was learned. By the way, the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings this as an example. It mentions over there the idea that if you have two members of the Sanhedrin who agree on a particular halacha, but they disagree what pasuk you derive it from, then we say their two opinions only count as one for purposes of figuring out which side has the majority. Why? Because the Torah doesn't have extra words in it. It doesn't have extra psukim in it. If you have two different chachamim who come up with the same din from two different sources, it has to be that one of them is wrong. The Gemara says over there, Mikra Echad Yotzel HaKamatayim, you can derive many things from one pasuk, but you're not going to have two psukim that teach us the exact same din. So the Gemara gives this machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as an example of that, where if they had been sitting on the Sanhedrin and deciding a case like this, we would say that we would count their two opinions only as one. So they come up with the same din, but based on that a person is high of courage for Zrika, outside the Azara, but based on two different stuff, based on Jomi Choshev or based on Oizeva. Okay, fine. The Rabbi Akiva high Jomi Choshev my Omid, right? Fine. What is Rabbi Akiva doing with the word Jomi Choshev? The answer is, well, Rabbi Shchita Ta'oi. Fine, he would say that comes to also add the case if a person were to shech a bird which was meant to be a korban outside the Azara. Now we know a bird of a korban is supposed to be killed with malika. So here instead of malika he did shechita. So therefore Rabbi Akiva is going to say, how do you know that a person is chayav korban for shechting it outside the Azara, even though that's not the same thing that you would do to it in the Azara? Therefore, the pasuk has to tell us dom shafach to include dom yechoshev leishahu dom shafach to teach us that as well. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel, what would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He would say nafkalemi oyashe yishta. Rabbi Shmuel would say fine, but you have at the beginning over there, at the beginning of that section, it says ish asher yishchat shere kesev ha'ez v'machne oy asher yishchat, or that he shech. And the word asher yishchat that second time is extra. Asher yishchat shorei kesev ha'ez mechutz b'machne. Oy mechutz b'machne. Why add again the word asher yishchat? Rabbi Shmuel says I can learn from that that a person is high of courage for shechting a bird korban outside the azar. What would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would say Amalak. He would answer to you. Yahu miboylei al shorei to chayv loy al amoyl. Fine, but I need that process to teach us that attacker, when it comes to a bird, a person is only chayav kares if he shechted it, not if he did malika. Even though malika is the normal thing that you do to it in the Azara, but in this case, the Torah is only chayav a person for shechting outside the Azara, not for being malik outside the Azara.
So he says,
well, Rabbi Shmuel apparently agrees with that also. Rabbi Shmuel agrees with that also. We're going back and forth over here, relax. But the point is that, so everybody agrees with that concept. A person is not chayav for doing malika on a bird outside the Azara. So Rabbi Akiva says, I learned that from the word asher yishchat. This that you, Rabbi Shmuel, are saying so again, Rabbi Akiva is saying you learn from Dom Yechoshev. This that you, Rabbi Shmuel, want to use Dom Yechoshev to teach us about Zrika, I'm learning it instead, Rabbi Akiva says from Dom Yechoshev instead, I'm learning about Shchita Tzori. Rabbi Shmuel says I learn it from Asher Yishchat. And Rabbi Akiva says that you have to learn from that it applies only to shchita. If you didn't have the word asher yishchat, you would think that in any way the person kills the bird, whether it's shchita or malika, he'd be chayav. The pasuk has to stress asher yishchat to tell us that not.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But Rabbi Shmuel agrees to that. So Rabbi Shmuel did not. So what would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? Where he also agrees with that din, that a person does malika outside the Azara, he's not chayav kares. The answer is, nafkele mizeh hadavar. He learns it from the fact, the pasuk begins that section by saying, Hashem says to Moshe, dabar al b'nei Aaron v'albonah v'albonah Yisrael, and you tell them as follows, zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem, this is the thing that Hashem commanded. And he starts by giving the din. So Rabbi Shmuel says, from the word Zeh HaDavar, we learn that it applies only to Shchita. namely the Tanya. As in fact, we learn in a Braisa. You don't want to say, I skipped a couple of lines earlier also. When we mentioned that Rabbi Shmuel says Mukhtar Ponim versus Mukhtar Chutz, the Ha Tanya, and indeed we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yochum Mukhtar Pim Shechotzer V'Hel Machutz. You would think that something that was meant to be offered in the Azara, that if now some of it is missing, and he was Malach Machutz, you would think Chayev, that he's Chayev Haris, Tamal Boim, Allah says, Oh, you say, Allah Shalom Chayev Ben Chayev Allah Chotzer. I left that out. So Rabbi Shmuel again holds that there's no difference either way. When it's chaser, then it's chaser, and Rabbi Akiva holds that there's a difference between one and the other. Usually, by the way, when you have a Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Akiva, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Here the Rambam passes like Rabbi Shmuel on the basis of that we have a Mishnah in the next parak, a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel. So therefore, that tells us, therefore, that halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, so therefore there is that valid difference, that difference stands between muktere pnim and muktere chut, in other words, whether it was shechted in the azara or not, where in other words, if a person were to shechted inside, where either way, actually, according to Rabbi Shmuel, whether the person shechted it in the azara or outside the azara, then it's chaser, and then he ended up putting it on his back and burning it outside the azara, he would not be chayev kores or malchus. That's how the Rambam. Okay, getting back to our Gemara over here. So Rabbi Shmuel Nachtel means Zehadrava. Rabbi Shmuel learns that it applies only to Shchita, not Malika, from the word Zehadrava. The Tanya, as we learn in Abraha, when the Pasuk says Asher Yishchat, the Pasuk says that a person shech a korban outside the Azorah, is Chayav Kores, only El Shchit Gehena. Now the Pasuk mentions Asher Yishchat Shore Ketev A. It mentions that he shechs an animal. So we only know that he's shechting an animal. Shachat oif menolon. How do we know the same thing applies to shechting a bird? Tamad lema oya she yishchat. Therefore, the pasuk says, or that he shechts. So we see that Rabbi Shmuel learns from. So we see that Rabbi Shmuel learns the shechita of a bird from the word oya she yishchat, which again, Rabbi Akiva, we said instead learns it from Dom Yechashiv.
Wait a minute. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, what is the
case? We haven't gotten to that yet. We're continuing. Yochol afa moilek. You would think, maybe, says Rabbi Shmuel, continuing in this braisa, maybe the same thing applies to somebody who does melika to a bird. Why? The dinhu, and you would think to make a kava choma like this. Mashchita. Okay, fine. But nevertheless, we could still make it. We could still use a kava choma. It would be like a gilui milta ba'alma. You could, fine. The point is, the pasuk is going to tell us, don't use this kava choma. The pasuk is explicitly going to tell us a phrase telling us not to do that. He would think, "Beginu ma shchita de en derech hasher b'tnim ma de shchita," which is not the way of making a bird kosher for a korban inside the azara, because you don't do shchita, you do melika. Yet chayev, yet if he does the shchita outside the azara, he's chayev kares, as we just said from oyah shem yishchat. So you would think melika should derech hasher b'tnim. He would think melika, which is the normal way, which is the proper way to kill it for a korban in the azara, ain't a din shul chayev. You would think how much more so he should be chayev kares or Malchus if he does it outside the Azara. Therefore, to tell us not, Talmud Lomer Zehadavar, therefore that's why it says Zehadavar. So Rabbi Shmuel says, that's what I'm using the word Zehadavar for. I do not have the word Zehadavar available to teach us about, to teach us like, so therefore he says, no, so what Rabbi Akiva is doing with Zehadavar, we're going to talk about next. But Rabbi Shmuel was saying like this so far. So we have the
so
second,
he's using
Zehadavar to teach us Shchita not Melika. Then he learns from Asher from Oya Asher Yishchat that it does apply to Shchita, and that the din of Kares applies if he does Shechta. Rabbi Akiva and but not Melika, because that he learns from Zehadavar. Rabbi Akiva says that Shchita and not Melika we learn from Asher Yishchat, and the concept that it applies b'chlal to birds we learn that it applies to birds b'chlal we learn from Dom Yechashiv. So again, the same Dom Yechashiv that Rabbi Shmuel wanted to say, that we learned, that Rabbi Shmuel was saying before, that we learned from it that a person is Chayav Kares for Zrika, Rabbi Akiva is taking in a whole different direction and using it for Shchita. Okay. But Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? What is he doing with Zeh Adrover? The answer is Amalach. He would answer you, Ha'um Uboyle Gzeh Shavah. He would say, yes, but you need that word, Zeh Adrover, for Gzeh Shavah. Now the Gemara doesn't explain over here what the Gzeh Shavah is, but in Bava Basra and in Nidorim, the Gemara spells out what the Gzeira Shava is. Here it says Zehadavar, by at the beginning of Parashas Matos, when it comes to Hataras Nidorim and Hataras Nidorim, it also says Zehadavar. By Dabba Moshe or Rosh HaMatos, the Mesa Lemon, Zehadavar Shetiva Hashem, Ishki Yidonet.
Let me tell you, times where you use
where the Torah introduces a mitzvah with the word zehadava shesivah shem. Right. So what's the zeta shava that we learn? We learn in both directions. Now you have like this by over here when it comes to shchutei chutz, the pasuk tells us that Hashem tells Moshe speak to Aaron and his sons and the whole Bnei Yisrael and tell them. When it comes to Hataras Nadarim, the Pasuk uses the expression by Dabba Moshe al Roshei HaMatos. He speaks to the heads of the Shvatim. Now, on the face of it, if it says that Dabba Moshe al Roshei HaMatos, that should mean who are the only ones who can be Matu Neder would be Roshei HaMatos, Tamar HaChachamim. But the fact is, we know not that. Three head Yerjits are able to be Matu Neder. That we learn from taking the Zera Shava in one direction, from Shchotechot from Shchotechot in Parshas Achremos to Hataras Nadarim in Parshas Matos, we learn from that that not only Roshei HaMatos can be Matu Neder, but also Shloshei HaYodim, also Kol Bnei Yisrael.
What's the mechanism?
It's a Zerushava from the word Zehadav. And then the other way around, in turn then we learn the other way around, we use the Zerushava in the other direction as well. We say that the fact that you have the concept of Hataras Nadarim, which is talked about in Matos, we learn that it also applies relative to Shchotei Chutz. In the sense that it is possible to be Matur Neder for Kodshim. You can have a person with Makdish an animal, the Korban. It's considered like any other Neder. He could be Matur Neder. So what would happen, for example, a person took an animal for a korban and shefted it outside the Azara, which so far that would make him chayav kares, but then he went afterwards and was matir neder, then fine, retroactively, the chacham is oiker the neder as if it never existed, therefore it's not shchotechot. That's what we learn from zehadavar in the other direction, from hataras nedarim to shchotechot. That hataras nedarim is effective at undoing shchotechot.
And of course, we accept the Zera Shava, right.
Right. Well, yeah, you can use the Zera Shava in Parshim. You just can't do one with Min Alamed, as we learned before, but yeah. So therefore, Rav Akiva says, that's what I need the word Zehadava for. I don't have it available to teach us that it applies only to Shchita and not Melissa. Because I need the Zehadava for this two-way Zera Shava. Now, the Gemara leaves without explaining, so knew what would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that. The Pashtus, he would agree with that din also. So here's where I mentioned on the WhatsApp group, it's worth introducing over here briefly an interesting figure in Jewish history. We know that it's well known that the Alter Rebbe and many other tzaddikim and Talmud Chacham of his times were deeply against Napoleon for a number of different reasons. One of the big ones being Napoleon's attitude towards Yiddishkeit and towards religion in general. You can find the Alter Rebbe talks about it briefly in his letters. The Mitzvah Rebbe has a whole long letter that he wrote to the Moshe Meislish explaining the Pinius, what Napoleon represents versus what the Russians represent, etc. Aside from the fact that the Alter Rebbe could see it all milamila, you have the
Russians represented something positive.
So therefore, in that sense, the Russians represented something positive. They at least had less negative, let's say. Yeah, they at least had a certain respect for religion, and as opposed to Napoleon was the Aniva Astioid type, like the nothing else exists beyond me.
Like down with religion type.
Kind of, yeah.
We don't need that stuff.
Basically.
Well, but Jews were very...
So that's the thing. There's a famous letter that the Alter Rebbe writes to Rav Moshe Meislish on the Rosh Hashanah before, on the Rosh Hashanah while he's on the run from Napoleon, when he obtained the famous story he had with Rav Moshe Meislish spy on the French and on behalf of the Russians. So he writes them a letter. You can find it in Igros Poyosh that he said that if Napoleon Bonaparte wins, then the Jewish people will be much better off the Gashmias, but they'll be distanced, their hearts will be distanced from Aviyam Sheva Shemayim, from Hashem, and if Aleph, meaning Alexander, the Tsar of Russia at that time wins, then the Jewish people will be much worse off for Gashmias, but they'll be much more closely connected with Hashem.
Could you say that when you look at Russian
status? Yes, he could. But so now, here's where I'm getting at with it. Aside from the Alter Rebbe mentions in that letter that Heruni Min HaShemayim, that was shown this Min HaShemayim. But besides that, down on earth also you could see it, for example, in Napoleon's policies towards when he first became ruler of France. So he decided at one point he's interested in reshaping Judaism according to his own ideas. The famous thing, he called together a convention of notables, and then afterwards a quote-unquote Sanhedrin of 71 members, in order to ratify a number of new rules that he wanted to make for the Jews of France. the composition of the Sanhedrin. There were some genuine Rabbanim among them. There were some not such genuine Rabbanim, and there were all kinds of different characters. In charge of it, he put as somebody who was worthy of the title, somebody who was a Talmud Chacham. His name is Rabbi David Zinsheim. He was the Rav of Strasbourg, and he was a Talmud Chacham. So this Rav David had a very, you can find it in history books, yes, but this Rav David had a very tough time of it. On the one hand, you can't go openly against Napoleon. On the other hand, you can't let them walk all over Yiddishkeit either. So he had a very fine balancing act over there to make sure that the Sanhedrin stays within the bounds that it's supposed to as far as Yiddishkeit. Anyway, why am I mentioning him? Because he has an interesting explanation on Or Gemara. Going back to Or Gemara now, we left off that Rabbi Akiva is using the word Zehadrava for the Zehashava. Rabbi Shmuel were leaving unresolved, so what is he doing with that? So he explains like this. You have a machloikis elsewhere in Shas, in Chulin, you have a machloikis. Were the Jewish people allowed to eat regular meat in the Midbar? Or was at any time you wanted to eat meat, you had to bring it as a korban? That's how Rabbi Shmuel holds. Rabbi Akiva holds that they were allowed to eat meat as they wished. In fact, Rabbi Akiva holds that it didn't even require shechita. That's another matter we'll get to in Chulin. But in any case, Rabbi Shmuel holds there was no such thing as bsar taiva during the 40 years in the Midbar. You wanted to eat meat, you had to bring it as a korban. Therefore, he says, that's why Rabbi Shmuel is not concerned about the fact that we don't have a Zeh Shav over here, because Hashem is giving Moshe a mitzvah, which is supposed to take effect right now. Well, right now, it's not relevant to talk about Hatoros and Dorim as far as Korbanos. If you're Matir Neder as far as the Korban, then you're back to you can't be trapped in anyway, because you can't eat it. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is not concerned about the fact that I can't use Zeh Hadava for the Zeh Shav, because it wouldn't have applied at that time anyway.
And that's the proof of...
So that's David Zinsheim writes, and he has a Pirush on Chumash called Shlal David. He brings this explanation. He says that's why in our Gemara, that's why Rabbi Shmuel is not concerned about the fact that I don't have Zeh Hadava for this Zeh Shava.
What do other...
I don't know. This is what he explains. Okay.
Oh, so the whole... Preface of
Napoleon isn't really Nagei. I'm just mentioning, I just wanted to introduce this Rav David Zinsheim.
He was a real rogue.
But that's the kind of thing also, when you look at this letter of the Alter Rebbe and the longer letter of the Mitzvah Rebbe that explain what they had against Napoleon, you can see not only what they saw in the Shemayim, you can see what they actually saw, what they saw the Muchosh down here on earth about what Napoleon wants to do as far as Yiddish guys. Yeah. Fine. Okay. All right. So the point is we've established that there is a lav and kares involved in sprinkling blood of a korban outside of the mikdash. We had Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva's ways of learning it, but we have a way of learning it. Okay. Now next, v'hadisnan. What about this that we learn later on in our parak? Hakoymes hamakabel domim b'chutz. If somebody takes the knissa of a korban mincha outside the azara, he didn't burn it outside the azara, he just took the knissa outside, or he received the blood in a mizra, or in any kind of baby, bachot, outside the azara, potter, the potter from kares, menolon, where do we get that from?
He takes the blood.
In other words, if Reuven sheds the korban outside the azara, Reuven is chayav kares, of course, but if Shimon then is standing there with a basin to catch the blood, Shimon will not be chayav kares. So how do we know that? Mar says, okay, Omehesha Tasty Dechayev. Of course he's potter. Where would you think to say he's chayev? You're going to say Tasty Mishayev. Well, because why should you, if you're not going to just say he's chayev by default, what do you mean, where do you get from he's potter? By default, the person is potter, unless the Torah says he's chayev. What makes you think that he should be chayev? Do you think Tasty Mishayev? Are you thinking you should learn it by a Kavah Chomer from Shchita? That if a person is chayev for shchita, how much more so for Kabbalah? Hence, mala shchita shekein nifstelos shalos on the Pesach. I can find a chumra in shchita over Kabbalah. Now, on the face of it, the idea of the Gzeira Shava would be that shchita can be done by a zor, whereas Kabbalah cannot. Therefore, Kabbalah is more stringent. But on the other hand, I can find a chumra as far as shchita, namely that when it comes to the korban Pesach, if a person shechts the korban Pesach, having in mind people who are not going to be able to eat it, that's shaloi la'ochlin, then the korban will be possible. You have to have in mind only people, ideally only, and at the very least, you have to have in mind, in addition, you have to have people who are able to eat it. Not old people, not sick people. And that only applies only to the Korban Pesach. Fine, but it applies only to Shechita. If the Kohen, when he's doing Kabbalah of the blood of the Korban Pesach, has in mind Shalom La'uchlav, nothing happens. Only by the Shechita it becomes possible. So you see there's a stringency in Shechita over Kabbalah in that case. Well, they do have to be designated for the korban. That's true, but the point is that only during the shechita, or there's a concept that the ish lafi ochpa tachoisu alaseh applies only during the shechita, not any of the later avodas. So we see that shechita has a certain chumrah compared to the other avodas.
How do we know it doesn't apply to
the because the Rashi explains because the expression in the pasuk is tachoisu alaseh, and the word tachoisu has a few different meanings. Among them, it means to register, but one of them is the Aramaic word for shechita is tois, but tachoisu alaseh can also mean you should check the, there's more explains over there, and there's more explains in Stachim, that's a valid way of doubting. Same way as you say, pass the past, he shine, pass that, here's the
choice.
No. Chos, chos, vav, samach. Tachosu, tachos, chos, vav, samach, vav. Spelled the same way. Tachosu, yes. So it actually brings from the Gemara in Stachim that Loshim Sursi was there. It's an Aramaic Loshim, chos, vav, there. So it's tachosu, means to check. And the prophet says that the ish lafi ochla, each person according to what they can eat. So from that we learn the shechita has to be done, having in mind all people who can eat it. Okay, so what? So the same way, it's just a tap the kaf shine, tap that fish shine. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we darshan words in Chumash based on other languages. We learned we had Sanhedrin, we had something where we're according to one mandom, where we darshan the word hain as meaning the Greek word one. And yeah, there's a number of places in the Torah where we do that. Anoshi Lashon Mitzri, you're right, that's true, yeah. So you're going to say, so again, you can't learn from Shechita because Shechita has a Chumrah over Kabbalah. Kasi Mizrika, are you going to say you're going to learn that, you're going to learn if Zrika, a person is Chayav Kodesh, as we just established, then the same thing would apply also to Kabbalah. Can't. Malu Zrika, Shechen Zor, Chayav Alei Amisa. You can't compare with Zrika because when it comes to Zrika, if a Zor does it, he's Chayav Misa. As opposed to Kabbalah, a Zor is not allowed to do it, and if he does it, he makes the Korban Apostle, but he's not Chayav Misa. Because to be chayav misa, it has to be, Rashi brings over here from a Gemara and Yoma, it has to be avoida tama. It has to be the last avoida in a chain of avoidas. Kabbalah is not the last one, because you have zrika, you have a locha and zrika. So zrika is an avoida tama, Kabbalah is not. So you can't say, if zrika, a person is chayav kares, then it should be the same thing by a kavachomer or by a mamafin or whatever by Kabbalah, because zrika is more stringent in that sense. You're going to say, tasty me binaya. You're going to say, okay, maybe I'll do it using a sada shava. Maybe you'll say that I'll learn it from a sada shava between shchita and zrika. Which then you could say that shchita, you're going to argue shchita has a chumra. Mibinaya means from a sada shava. Maybe you're going to say, by combining together shchita and zrika, you're going to say shchita and zrika, each one of them involves chiyuv kares. Or chatas shogig. Therefore, the same thing should apply to Kabbalah. You're going to say, what about shchita has the chumrah by the korban pesach? Okay, but Kabbalah doesn't. You're going to say you're going to say zrika has the chumrah by the avodah tama and a zor is chayav misa, but shchita is not because a zor can do shchita even not mechila. So therefore, in the tzadah, what's the tzadah shoga? That they're both avodahs involving a person and involving a korban and a person's chayav kares. So you're going to deduce from that the same thing would apply to yeah. The chumrah of shchita and the korban pesach is that it has to be done having in mind that the people who are going to be eating, who are going to be able to eat the korban pesach. That doesn't apply to the other avodas. Okay. However, the Gemara says you can't do that. You can't use a tzadah shava to learn something like that. And we know, and we know like this. Because in Cain, if you're going to say that it's possible to do that, that it's possible to take two different avodas and learn by a tzadah shava from them another one, in that case, lo yoma b'zrika, then the pasuk did not have to use anything to teach it about zrika, not dom yechoshev, like Rabbi Shmuel said, not dom yechoshev, like Rabbi Shmuel said, not oizevach, like Rabbi Akiva said. We wouldn't need that. V'teisim ibinaya. And we would be able to learn it from a combination of shchita and halal. We established before in the Gemara, the pasuk does explicitly tell us that a person is not allowed to do shchita, and a person is not allowed to do halal, and if he does either one of them, he's chayav kares or chatas. So if you're going to say that you can learn using tzadah shavas, we could have already learned zrita from that. Then you wouldn't need a pasuk for zrita. Then we wouldn't need the pasuk in that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva brought. The fact that we needed those pasukim implies that you can't learn using the tzadah shavas. So like this, in other
what
words.
Would you learn anything?
Well, so you would learn like this. You would start like this. The taste in the shchita, so let's say you would start by learning that if you're going to say if a person is chayav for shchita, then he's also chayav for zrika. Again, you can't do that. Again, because you would say shchita has a chumra over zrika in that when it comes to the korban Pesach, it topples the korban if you have in mind people who can't eat it, as opposed to zrika. Case in halah, you're going to say, you're going to learn from halah, if a person is chayav for halah, then he should also be chayav for zrika. Can't. Because you could argue back that halah is special in that you have halah when it comes to a korban mincha. A korban mincha, you don't have shchita and you don't have zrika, but you have halah. So therefore, you could argue halah is something that applies to all korbanos.
When it fell, you put it back.
Never mind that when it fell, put back halah. It just means that you offer it on the mizbeach. You take the korbanos and you burn it on the mizbeach. You have that by mincha, just as you do by all korbanos. You do not have shchita and zrika by mincha. So you could argue, therefore, that maybe the Torah is machmer on halah and tells the person that he's chayav karis for doing it outside the azara, because that applies to all korbanos. Maybe that wouldn't apply to zrika, which exists only by some korbanos. So then you're going to say the taste in the binaya. So then you're going to argue that. Then you're going to argue that you can learn it by a sada shava from them, because you can say again that between, by combining together shchita and halah, you would say we could also learn zrita. And yet, because you would say that, you would have a sada shava. You would say that it's shchita, so you would say, okay, but shchita has the chumra by Pesach, you would answer, but halah doesn't. You would say, but halah applies to a mincha, you would say, but shchita doesn't, and nevertheless, so there's a sada shava, which is, but the fact is, we see that it's not so. We see that the pasuk had to tell us dom yechoshev or oizera, according to Rabbi Shmuel or according to Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, lahaki ksiv kura. That's what it means. Therefore, the pasuk had to write. Therefore, the Torah had to write a pasuk according to Rabbi Shmuel or according to Rabbi Akiva. L'meima d'loy osim eminaya to teach you that you should not learn such things using tzada shavet.
Is that a general
problem? No, specifically here. Specifically here, because we see that here you have something that you could have learned logically with a tzada shava, but nevertheless, the Torah wrote out a pasuk for us, then wrote out a word for us in the pasuk to dashing from. Therefore, we see that in this case, you're not meant to learn from a tzada shava. Therefore, by the same logic, we can answer that why is a person not hired for, as we said, doing a kremitz of a mincha, or for doing kmitza of a mincha, or he does it outside the azara, or for doing kabbalah. The reason is because even though you would think to be able to learn from a tzada shava, the Torah has specifically implied to us that you don't learn from a tzada shava in this case.
And therefore you're pasur.
Therefore, you don't have a source that is chayav, therefore by default it's pasur, yeah. Okay, I mean, the person has asked the question. You have later on, and in the next paragraph, we're going to have a different limud for this concept for a person to be chayav karis, it has to be gemar avoda. So automatically, we know that koymes is not gemar avoda. It's not the last stage of that avoda, because there's still to be ruining the koymes afterwards. And the same thing as far as kabbalah. So why isn't the gemara just say that over here? So the Tzon Kodeshim answers, you don't need the whole discussion over here about tzadah shavas and everything. So the Tzon Kodeshim answers that gives one answer that from the fact that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about zrika, about the source of zrika, you can see they don't hold of that concept. They don't hold that gemara avoda is specific. They disagree with that drasha from Asher Yala Ola, and therefore they need different sources for yeah.
Other cases, they do hold by
law. Right, okay, fine. When it comes to other things, when it comes to when a person is chayav mitzvah b'day shamayim, as Zohar, for example, yeah, they would hold up by the time.
We don't know why they don't hold it.
It doesn't say, but that's evidently that's how it is, based on Mahalachah's model. Okay. Omer Rababo. Okay, so Rababo says, based on what we said, that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are disagreeing on where we learn that a person is chayav karis for zrika. Again, the Rabbi Shmuel is learning it from a pasuk in connection with. Rabbi Shmuel is learning it from the word dom yechoshev, where l'rabbi tazorit, and Rabbi Akiva is saying you learn it from oizemach l'rabbi tazorit. Well, based on that, says Rabbi, shochat v'zorak. Suppose a person shechs the korban outside the azara, and he does the zrika, and it's all, of course, the hela method. Now, Rabbi Shmuel is learning, where is he learning the Zrika from? He's learning it from the word Dom Shafach that are mentioned in connection with the Shchita.
Dom Shafach.
Which is connection with the Zrika. The Asher Yishchat Shoreh Ketav Ezra Machne, Vel Pesach Oyem Oedlo, the Vio Dom Shafach. So therefore, says Rav Abahu, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would mean a person would be chayev only one malchus for the, one chatos, because Rabbi Shmuel is learning the issue of Zrika from the same pasuk that is teaching us about the issue of Shchita. So therefore, no, it's an extension of it. You don't say that there's a separate historian for Shchita and for Zrika, because the pasuk doesn't spell out and say you're not allowed to share and you're not allowed to be Zrika. We learn the Zrika from Dom Shafach in connection with the Zrika, therefore it's an extension of it. You could say it's like a tool of it. So therefore, only one chatos for the two of them. The Zibra of Akiva, Chaim Shain, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, who learns Zrika from the word Oizeva, which is in the next part, which is in connection with Halah, in connection with the offering of a korban on a Mizbeach outside of this Mekdash. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, there are two different Ethereums. Shchita is in one positive, and Shchita is in one positive, and Zrika and Halah are in a different positive. So therefore, according to him, Shchita and Zrika will make a person chayev for two different positives. So according to that, okay, so you know what, there's the Chumash over there, which I brought out. It's very clear. I'll just touch it back. Okay, so it starts out by mentioning about Shchutichu, Dabra of Bnei Yisrael, and you tell them, if a person, Ashid Yishchat Shorek Hesav Eivamachna, or Ashid Yishchat Nechutlamach. Then in that connection, in the next passage, it says Dom Shok. Then you have, it finishes off with that section, then it continues, V'alehem Toymar, and also tell Bnei Yisrael, that if a person, Ashid Yala Olo Zavach, that he offers an Olo or a Zavach, and doesn't bring it to the Olo Moyer, then he gets caught. Rabbi Shmuel is learning Zrika from the word Dom Shafach. That's in connection with Shchita. Rabbi Akiva is learning it from Oy Zevach, which is in connection with Halah. Therefore, it comes out, according to Rabbi Akiva, Shchita and Zrika are learned from two different Isurim, from two different Ladim, therefore two separate Chatos. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, who learns it from Dom Yechoshev, which is not a separate lav of itself, it's an extension of the lav regarding Shchita, is going to say that a person is only chayav one chasa from that face. Indeed, there is one.
This what?
There's a forbearing on the internet. Yeah. Okay. Just got nervous today, I guess. Abaya
says no. I feel a little
different about Kiba in a chayav alacha. No, says Abaye, even if one's Rabbi Akiva, a person would be chayav only one chatas for doing shchita and zrika v'halamah. How so? Because he says like this, to Amakra, because you have a pasuk in Re'eh, in Parashat Re'eh, that says, now the pasuk says over there, shom tala olei secha, v'shom tase. Here our Gemara just quotes the word shom tase. It says, there you should offer your korbanos, there you should offer your olos, and there you should do everything that I command. Which means, in other words, Abaya says, the pasuk is singling out halah, offering it, which means, again, either putting it on the mizbeach or burning it or both, is singling it out from all the other avodas of a korban. Implying, therefore, that only that one is singled out, and a person is high of a separate chatos for doing that. But all the other avodas of a korban are all compressed together in one, or they're all under the shom tasa, and therefore only one happens, already said. Shom tasa, hakosav, asan, makol, and avoda akha. The pasuk effectively is saying that all the other avodas, aside from halah, all count as one.
Except which one?
Except halah, because it spells out, it says shom tala, the shom tasa. So therefore he says halah is a lav of its own. But Asiya, all the other things, which includes Shchita and Zrika and so forth, would all be considered one Asiya. Therefore, it would be one Avoda, therefore only one Chata. That's Rabbi saying. He says that even Rabbi Akiva would agree to that. What about Zorak the Hela? Now, how about if a person sprinkles blood and offers the korban outside of the Mikdash? L'divrei Rabbi Shmuel Chayev Shtayim, so it continues Rabbi Bo. Now it's the other way around. According to Rabbi Shmuel, two Chatos. Because Rabbi Shmuel was learning one from Dom Shafach in the first set of Sukkim, and the other one from Asher Yala Olo Zavach in the second set of Sukkim. Lavim, therefore, two separate Lavim, two separate Chatos. L'divir Rav Akiva and Chai Balachas, where Rav Akiva, who is learning Zvika from Oy Zevach, which is in connection with Lav of Asher Yala Oy Lo Oy Zevach, he's going to say that it's only one. He's going to say in Chai Balachas, it's only Chai one Chatos for it then. Same logic. Abaya Omer, Abaya says... Actually, we said before that, we said before that the halacha is like a bishmal, as far as ala sholen v'loy ala chaser. We're not done with the discussion yet anyway, but wait, okay. Abaya Omer Afilu L'Divrei Rav Akiva Chayev Shtayim. Abaya says no, not like you, Rav Abahu, are saying that Rav Akiva would make him Chayev two, and Rav Shmuel would make him Chayev only one in that case. Even according to Rav Akiva, he's going to be Chayev two in this case. Because Lahochi Pauginu Kuh, even though Rabbi Akiva is learning from Oy Zevach, which is in connection with Halah, and therefore you would argue it's all part of one Lav, and therefore no, Rabbi Akiva is still going to say, he says Abaya, that he's Chayev Tu. Lahochi Pauginu Kuh, because again, we have the Pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, which distinguishes those two things, Shom Tala v'Shom Tasa, that there you should offer it and there you should do it, implying that the offering is considered a separate thing of its own, separate from Zrika. Even though Zrika here in Achrimos is being learned from the same pasuk, but over there in Re'e, it's separated out. Halah is separated out as a thing of itself, Shom Tala, and then the Shom Tasa includes everything else, which includes the Zrika. Rabbi Bohu had said that in the first case where it was Shchita and Zrika, Rabbi Shmuel would say one, Rabbi Akiva would say two. Abaya says everybody would agree only one. Now we have the other for Shchita and Zrika. For Shchita and Zrika. Now we're talking about Zrika and Halah. Rabbi Bohu says two for Rabbi Shmuel, one for Rabbi Akiva. Abaya says two for either one then. Rabbi Shmuel, obviously, because we're learning them from two separate parts of the section. And Rabbi Akiva, because in Parashas Re'eh, it's spelled out that Shom Tala is considered a separate thing of itself, separate from the Shom Tasa. So therefore two. Shachat, the Zorak, the Hela, what if a person does all three things? He does the Shchita and the Zrita and the Halah, L'divrei HaKol, Chayev Shtayim, and then according to everybody, he'll be Chayev two Chatars. Because either way you look at it, whether according to Rabbi Shmuel or according to Rabbi Akiva, you have two different sections over here. One regarding Shchita, one regarding Halah. One of them puts Zrita in one of them, the other one puts Zrita in the other one. But either way, you wind up with two Chatars according to everybody.
Discussion is only when, not when it's a bus outside, but one outside.
Well, so, right, if you get person, well, no, if a person did two out of these three avodas outside, two out of three, then you have the machloikas of Rabbi Bohu and Abaya, how much he's going to be chayev. When they do all three, then he's definitely chayev both. Then he's definitely chayev two chatois, but no more than two. It's interesting, the Mishnah Lamelech on the Rambam starts with a whole long discussion about this. The Rambam doesn't actually spell out in so many words how much a person is chayev for how many chatoris a person is chayev for the case where he does all three. So at first, the Mishnah Lamelech wants to say, apparently, that he'd be chayev three chatoris. Then he writes, then I realized I made a mistake, because the Or Gemara clearly says that he's only chayev two. Because again, you have Shchita is one section, Halah is another section, and Zrika is either included with one or included with the other. So therefore, either way, it doesn't count as a separate lav of its own. And even Abaya can't disagree with that, because Abaya, who's pointing also to the pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, Shom Tala, the Shom Tasa, but you only have two things over there, Halah and everything else. So therefore, according to him also, Shchita and Zrika are going to have to be combined together. Yeah, okay. Hey. We learn in a brush. When the pasuk says, okay, so you have over here parentheses, and square brackets, and whatever, because it seems there's a couple of different gear stories to the braisa over here combined together. So on the side over here, it brings from Son Kodshim, a girsa, a ton of one, from Oya Shayishchat Michot Machne. When the pasuk says that a person shechts outside the machne, Yochol Michot Machne, so Yochol chutz l'shalosh machnas. You would think that means you would think that means even only if he checks it outside all three machnas. How do we know that a person is chayiv even if he checks it only outside of machnas shchina, meaning outside the azara in the harabayis or in the ezras nashim for that matter? Therefore, the pasuk says that a person checks a goat in the machne, meaning, in other words, at that point, the machne can mean the machne can be, in other words, one machne out. So already it means, in other words, in machne Yisrael. So now we know it doesn't mean outside all three machnas. Now we know already that even if he checks it in machne Yisrael, which is the city of Yerushalayim, then already he's got it. Iba machne. Again, you have different versions over here of exactly what the Braise is saying, but the point is, from the word b'machne, we're learning that it means not just if he checks it outside the machne, but even if he checks it in one of the other machnes, machne Yisrael, which in future generations is Yerushalayim, or machne Leviyah, which in future generations is Arabah. I b'machne, now given that the Pasuk says that a person checks it in the machne, and it says he's Chayav Karis, you would think maybe even, so you have an Ola is supposed to be shechted on the north side of the Azara, maybe even if a person would have shechted on the south side of the Azara, it is b'machne, it is within machne shchina, but it's outside of the right place, maybe he would be chayav kares. No, therefore the pasuk says, or he took it michutz b'machne. Michutz b'machne means outside of the machne, meaning outside of machne shchina. In other words, first we started by arguing that maybe it means chutz l'sholosh machnas. Okay, yeah, the pasuk starts off like this: Ish yishem beis Yisrael, asher yishchat shoreh ketzav is b'machne, or asher yishchat michutz b'machne. So if we only had michutz b'machne, you'd think only if he does it completely outside the machne, outside all three machnas. Saying that b'machne, we're learning that it means even if he shechts it in machne Leviyah or machne Yisrael. But now, if you only had b'machne, then you would think even if he shechted it within the machne itself, meaning even within the machne shchina, within the azara, but in the wrong part of the azara, he'd be chayav kares, in order to tell us not. Therefore, the pasuk also mentions michutz b'machne. That's why, in other words, you need both. It can't just say b'machne, and you would understand from that, well, obviously, if you shecht in machne Leviyah or machne Yisrael, then already he's chayav, how much more so michutz b'machne? It needs to add michutz b'machne, so you don't mistakenly think that even within machne shchina itself, there can be a chiyuv. No.
You need both.
You need michutz b'machne to teach us that as long as you're within machne shchina, you're good.
Meaning the azara.
And you need b'machne to teach us. On the other hand, to teach us that it's not just if it's michutz b'machne outside all three machnas, but also even if you're in machne Leviyah or machne Yisrael. If you only had michutz b'machne, you would think only if it takes it outside all three machnas.
If you didn't have michutz b'machne, you would say what?
If you didn't have michutz b'machne, then you would... No, then you would think the other way around. You would say, machne Yisrael and machne Leviyah, sure. But even within machne shchina, if it's in the wrong part of machne shchina, then the person is also chayim. So Talmud Boima, oy al michutz b'machne. That's why it has to add that he takes it outside the machne. In other words, that the machne that we're saying, his chayim has to be similar to michutz b'machne. By putting them together, b'machne and michutz b'machne, we're making a hekesh between them. Ma chutz b'machne miyuchad. Now, what can we say? What is special about michutz b'machne outside all three machnes? Is she'en roi l'shchitas kodshim or l'shchitas kol zebach? It's not a place where you're able to shech kodshim or any other korban because those have to be. It's clear they have to be done lifnei Hashem in the azara. Yotta Dorim, as opposed to the southern side of the Azara, Sha'afafi Shein Roy, the Shechitat Kodshe Kodshe. True, it's possible for Shechitin Kodshe Kodshe, because you have to Shech them on the north side. Nevertheless, Roy, the Shechitat Kodshe Kalim, but it's still suitable for Kodshe Kalim, so you can't, in that sense, it's not similar to Michutz B'machne. So saying B'machne and Michutz B'machne teaches us what part of Machne is a person hired for, the part which is similar to Michutz B'machne, in that no Kobanas are supposed to be Shechitin.
Not just
Kodshe Kodshe. So therefore, the south side, given that it's b'machne, and it's not similar to Michutz b'machne, the korban is possible, but the person is not chayav karis for doing it. Okay, so in this connection, Amar Ola, ha-shechet av-gagay shel heichol chayav. So Ola says, if a person would have shecht a korban on the roof of the heichol, which is not a place where Kodshe must be shechted, then he would be chayav karis. Tova in Roy, the Shchita Kol Zevach, because by the logic we just said. We just said that any place which is not Roy for shechting any korbanos is considered Michutz L'Machne, and therefore he's Chayav Kares. Well, the roof of the Heichel is physically within the Azara, but it's a place that doesn't have the Kedusha of, it's a place that doesn't have the Kedusha of the of the Azara, because the you have a rule that the Gemara mentions elsewhere, Gagin Ba'aliyas L'Niskachu, the roofs and the upper floors in the Beis Mikdash did not have the Kedusha of the Azara. So therefore, so you can't track Tobonis there, therefore
it's
a person
still
he's physically within the Azara, but still, yeah. So that he says, because it's in Roy L'Shchitas Kol Zevach. We just established that where is a person Chayav Karis, when he's in a machne which is similar to Mechutz L'Machne, where it's possible for Shechting Karbonis, well, since the roofs are possible for Shechting Karbonis, then therefore, then yeah, then that means he'd be Chayav Karis for it. Machne for Rava, but Rava asked on that, him came, Nichtiv Kra Mechutz L'Machne, Voy Voya Pesach HaYomari. Fine, but if that's the case, then the Pasuk could have only mentioned that he shechted it Mechutz L'Machne. Fine, but Machne and Mechutz L'Machne, like we said. Why does the Pasuk have to continue that El Pesach Oy HaMoyed Loy Havir, that he's not bringing it before the door of the Oy HaMoyed? That the Rabbi is saying, in other words, that if you're gonna tell me that's the point. If you're gonna tell me that a person is high of courage for shechting it on the roof of the Heichel, then why would the pasuk have to use the words El Pesach HaYomoyed? El Pesach HaYomoyed Lamali, Lav Lamaute Gagwe, says Rava, presumably the words El Pesach HaYomoyed are coming to teach us that if a person shechted it on the roof, he's not high of courage. It's true that it's not a place that is suitable for shechting korbanos, but nevertheless, the fact is he did bring it El Pesach HaYomoyed. He did, in order to get it up onto the roof of the Heichel, he had to bring it through the Azara. Therefore, Rav is saying the words of Pesach HaYomoyed are teaching us, not like Ola, that the fact that he went through the Azara, which is a place which is suitable for Shechting Kodshin, and then brought it up to the roof, which is not, that should make him Chayev. No, Rav says once he brought it up Pesach HaYomoyed and hasn't left the area of Pesach HaYomoyed, hasn't left the Azara, then he should be potter. Okay, so the question is, would Rava, imke nichtev apesach oyomoyed b'machne? So in that case, according to Rava, you don't need all three expressions. You can say el pesach, which means therefore not the roof. And also automatically that would mean not that the person's not chayav for the south, because the south is also, he brought it into the Azara.
So it's not considered as moved.
Yeah, it's still a Pesach HaYomoyed, south side of the Azara. It's still a place where you can check Sajjan Talim, we said before. It still is in front of the door of the HaYomoyed. So according to Rava, Michutz L'Machne Lomali. According to Rava, why do you need Michutz L'Machne? Before we were saying you need Michutz L'Machne to teach us that the part of the Machne where a person is chayav for shechting them has to be similar to Michutz L'Machne in that it's a place that's not suitable for shechting korbanos. But according to Rava, if you're saying that we're exempting the roof, it's not a place for shechting korbanos, but nevertheless he's potter because it is brought on Pesach HaYomoyed, automatically we know the south side of the Azara is okay. So therefore, why do we need the word Michutz L'Machne, according to Rava? Lavla Yisuya Gagoy. Shouldn't it mean then that it is coming to include the roof like Ola is arguing? In other words, you would say that, in other words, Michutz L'Machne teaches us that it has to be that as long as it's a place which is not roy for shechting any korban, then the person is chayev. What do we learn from Pesach HaYomoyed? We learn something else that we learn from our Pesach HaYomoyed that these dinim do not apply to things that are not meant to be brought al Pesach HaYomoyed in the first place. Namely, Rashi says, we would say that we would exclude from it the parah adruma, kodesh vedek abayis, things that weren't meant to be brought as korbanos in the first place. So he would say those kinds of things, those kinds of things a person would be potter for because they weren't meant to come al Pesach HaYomoyed. In other words, what we would say, that would be potter. In other words, we'd say so far as follows. We'd say, B'machne teaches us that if he shechted anywhere within the other two machnes, then he's chayim. Michutz B'machne teaches us within machne shechina, within the Azara, he's potter, as long as it's a place which is suitable for shechting korbanos. but therefore not roof, which is not possible, which is not kosher for shechem gemara. El Pesach HaRamay teaches us all these dinim don't apply to the para adumo or to kodesh bedekabal. You're still left with, that according to you're still left with, on the face of it, we should still be excluding the roof and saying a person is chayav kodesh for shechting on the roof because in that sense it's like michos b'machna. Rav Mari, Rav Mari says no, because you could say that Michutz L'Machna we need to teach, we would say that we're using, according to Rav's logic, we would use Michutz L'Machna for a different drasha. To add also the case, what if most of the animal is inside the Azara and the neck of it is outside the Azara? If a person were to shecht it, he'd be Chayav Kodesh, because the neck is outside, because part of it is outside. We'd learn that from Michutz L'Machna. What do you mean? Of course, if the neck is outside, of course the person is chayav kodesh. Am I kofed rachmana? Because after all, what is the Torah makvid on? A shchita. The Torah is makvid on. You should do the shchita outside our mode. Or shchita b'chutzi. Here like this, if the neck is outside the azara, then he's doing the shchita outside. Ella, no. So we have to say the other way around. The other way around. What if most of the animal is inside, is outside the azara, and the neck is inside? If you didn't have the word michus b'machna, you would think that maybe he'd be kosher for that. So you would say that the michus b'machna is coming to add also that El Pesach Oyel Moed is coming to teach us that. We were arguing that we wanted to say that El Pesach Oyel Moed is teaching us once you bring it past Pesach Oyel Moed, even if you take it up to the roof, then you're potter. So Rav Mari is saying that no, that's not what it means. What it would mean is that he has to bring the entire animal Pesach Oyel Moed. Meaning into the Azara, the entire animal, even if just the neck is inside the Azara, that's not enough. The entire animal has to be inside the Azara.
So
that he would learn some Pesach Oyel Moed. So therefore it would come out, in other words, according to that, it would come out that Rav Mari is saying that we can still make that work with Rava's explanation that the gag heichel is potter because he didn't bring a Pesach Oyel Moed. So from Pesach Oyel Moed, we're learning as long as he brought the entire animal, Pesach Oyel Moed, even if he took it up to the roof afterwards, nevertheless, he'd still be potter. Even though that's not a place that's roi for shecht and karbonis, but the fact is it was completely brought up Pesach Oyel Moed, but we're learning from that also the entire animal has to be brought up Pesach Oyel Moed, not that some of it is still outside. That's the point. In other words, because you can only get onto the roof passing through Pesach Oyel Moed by going down the stairs at the front, but some side of the Azara. We learned back in Ezer Makoyman, we learned that actually, we said there were small doors on different sides of the Heichel in order that the entire Azara is in front of one or another door of the Oyel Moed, and therefore that they could check from under there. So regardless, either way, when you're getting it to the top of the Heichel, you had to have passed by one of those doors. Therefore, it was brought up Pesach Oyel Moed.
It
doesn't matter. The point is that you still have that each one of them faces some part of the Azara. Therefore, the entire Azara, the entire 187 by 135, is Pesach Oyel Moed. So you don't have to see the whole Pesach. No, as long as you're in front of some part of it. But that's in other words. So what we're left with is that we're still sticking with. We have B'machne teaches us that. If a person shechted in Machna Levi or Machna Yisrael, he's going to be chayev. Michutz b'Machna teaches us that a person is chayev only if it's a place which is not roi for shechting karbonis, unlike the entire Azara is roi for shechting karbonis. And from Al Pesach, meaning in the southern half of the Azara, if a person were shechting over there. And then Al Pesach Oyel Moed teaches us, A, that the animal has to be brought completely in front of Pesach Oyel Moed, not that it's partially outside the Azara, and B, that once it was brought past Pesach Oyel Moed, even if it was brought up to the roof, even though that violates the condition that we said based on Michutz L'Machna, because it's not a place for Shechting and Korbanos, but because it was brought up Pesach Oyel Moed, then he's potter, like Rambam. So that's what... To be chayev, in other words, it would have to be...
Nor in the right
place. So it would have to be, in other words, right, that it was that some part or all of the animal was outside the Azara, outside the 187 by 135 rectangle of the Azara. Only then is he chayav. But if it's anywhere within that rectangle, If it's on the floor, then there's no problem. It's Petach HaYomoyed regardless. And even if it's an Ola and it's on the south side, he's still Potter, based on the Chutzla Machne. But he's Potter, right? The Korban itself is possible, but he's Potter. And if he did it on the roof of the HaYomoyed, on the roof of the Hechel, again, the Korban would be possible, but he would not be Chayav Kares to the fact that he did bring it Petach HaYomoyed. He did bring it before the door. Okay.